Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our two-part message from Brother Tim Lapish, representing Fellowship Tract League, and preaching on A Walk with God. This is part two of two.
Can you imagine walking with the Lord in the garden? How special that must have been. Well, that's the first time that it's used, and it's used in reference to walking with the Lord. I can just imagine Adam and Eve in the cool of the day just strolling through the garden as the Lord God teaches them and talks to them and ministers to them in their perfect state. My, what that must have been. I think of Enoch in chapter 5 of the book of Genesis, and in verse 22, the Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Well, the Bible says, go on there, in verse number 24 and 25, it talks about he was not. And it seems to me that after 65 years, when when Enoch had family, that the importance of the Christian life, walking with God, came upon him. And I've seen this happen so many times in my ministry as I pastored, that where people were just casual with their relationship with Christ, that after they had family, they had children, all of a sudden they realized the seriousness of this life, and they had a closer walk with the Lord, and they became so much more involved in church. I grew up in a home that was very involved. Dad and Mom were Christians, as you heard me say. They were involved in every aspect of our church there in Cleveland, Ohio, and it was very important for we as four children. The oldest, my brother Tom, is in heaven. He was an FBI agent in Detroit, came down with skin cancer after 4 years of struggling. The Lord took him home. Myself, second oldest, I'm in the ministry. My sister Pam is involved in layman ministry there in Houston, Texas. She and her husband are heavily involved in giving the worldwide missions. And my youngest sibling, my brother Jim, is running a Christian camp east of Cleveland, about 40 miles, a 500-acre camp called Stony Glen. Has done that for the last almost 30 years. He has 10 children, and my, how God has blessed our family. I think one of the things that were so important to us becoming involved Christians is because Dad and Mom were. And we kind of followed in the footsteps, and as Dad and Mom walk with the Lord, we walk with the Lord. And as Enoch, after 300 years of walking, the Lord was not, because he was translated, even after Dad and Mom were taken to heaven through death, the four children, we are still walking with the Lord. Very, very important. It says about Abraham in Genesis 17:1, God wanted him to be perfect. Walk before thou me perfect in order, the command of it. And we as Christians need to have an order in our life, and we need to keep walking with the Lord. And some very important people are mentioned there. Adam, Eve, Enoch, Abraham, right there in Genesis, who did what? Ran with the Lord? No, who walked with the Lord. In other words, you're going slow enough so you can read your scriptures and be involved in your Christian life. Are you walking with the Lord today? Number two, I have it marked, so I'll just turn there. Amos 3:3, the Bible says this, "Can two walk together," get that idea, "walk, except they be agreed." Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now we're in a church setting, and one of the most misunderstood things that churches try to do that people have a problem with is to teach them sound doctrine. The pastoral epistles are full of that, where Paul is instructing Timothy under the inspiration of and leading of the Holy Spirit of God to teach sound doctrine. I've been to a few camp meetings. A lot of time I get really excited, preacher, and really walk around and everything else, but I found in my church some of the most serious Bible teaching went on Sunday night and Wednesday, when we try to teach sound doctrine to our people and make that a priority. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And a lot of people in the downtown church and in our Hilltop church and finally in Grove City, a lot of people who came in had so many different ideas. Yeah. And you just don't straighten them out overnight. But through teaching sound doctrine, they became agreed with me, not because I was right, but because I was showing what the Bible said. So they didn't necessarily agree with me what they were doing. We were agreeing together that God's word was true. Amen. God's word is true. So are you doctrinally agreed? Some people say, "Well, I just can't see that." Well, let's look to the scriptures and see together what God is trying to teach us. Philosophically, we're trying to do missions work around the world and at home. Some churches just want to do missions work at home. Some churches, all they want to do is mission work in Africa or a third world country, and they kind of lose that balance there. And philosophically, I think the Lord wants us, through the teaching of the Scriptures, to reach people here and abroad both, especially as you study the book of Acts. Within our family, are you agreed? Dad is the leader of the home. Mom follows his spiritual leadership, right? Dads ought to be spiritual, right? And the kids follow dad and mom. And if we as kids growing up gave mom a hard time and didn't follow her, when dad got home, off came the belt. Now, I know times have changed, but when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, it didn't take too many lickings from my dad that I learned a lesson. It's a whole lot easier doing what mom says and not getting a spanking than giving mom a hard time and then getting a spanking from dad who was 6'3 and 250.
Amen.
In the church, are we agreed in the church? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Are we following church leadership? Nowhere in the Bible do I find that deacons or trustees have their thumb over the preacher. Amen. God puts a man in a local church and gives him a vision for that church, and we as church members then need to follow the preacher. I was in one church, and we were just goofing off talking. I didn't know them, and so we were just trying to get to know each other, and we were laughing, and a deacon said their deacons fire and hire all the pastors. That's their main job. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm a guest.
Right.
I'm a guest. But I thought, no wonder they've had so many different pastors down through the years. God sends a man and builds that ministry around that man, that vision that God has given that man. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I went to the Southern Baptist Convention downtown Columbus in June. Did anybody just go down and check that out? Was I alone here? I went down there. They had the whole convention center. They have walls that they can put up that for 1,000 or for 5,000. All the walls were down, and I think they had 10,000 to 15,000 representatives. I went on a Tuesday night because the church that I pastored originally was like two blocks from the convention there. So I wanted to see how that was, and I went inside, and I was treated very graciously, and it was completely full of people. Everywhere you looked, there were Southern Baptist people there. Well, that night, Tuesday night, was their night of repentance. And they're repenting of several things. One was a lack of evangelism. I think there's 45,000 plus Southern Baptist denominations around the country, and several thousand had not reported one soul saved or baptized in the year past. Wow. And they, as a convention, wanted to publicly repent of that and encourage every denomination, every church to go out and win souls and baptize them. That was good. That was good. I mean, if we're not winning people and baptizing people, well, we need to do something about that. The other thing they were trying to fight was racism. They had a group of African-American pastors come up in the Southern Baptist Convention, Asian pastors come up in the Southern Baptist Convention, American Indian pastors to come up in the Southern Baptist Convention, and then the white pastors came up, and there was a total apologizing and repenting of racism, one towards another, etc. I thought that was wonderful. That was wonderful. They were trying to become agreed in this area. I say there's no room for racism in the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
I need amen here.
Amen.
Need everybody to weigh in here. Very important.
Amen.
Third point. Point one, first time it was used, Genesis 3:8. Point two, can two walk together except they be agreed? Then Jeremiah 6:16. If you get a second you want to turn there, just go backwards a little bit. Say, I don't know where Jeremiah is. Well, you start in Genesis, and you'll get there by next week. Just one page at a time.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Jeremiah.
There you go, there you go. Genesis, now you're getting me saying Genesis. Thank you, brother. All right, and Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Something about the old ways. It seems everything in America has been turned upside down. Is there a cake that's called an upside down cake, or is that a pie or something like that? It just seems like everything that was true and honest and correct was flipped upside down, and now all those things that for years and years and centuries were right are now wrong. And those things that were all wrong have been flipped up on top. they're all right. It's a very, very confusing time that we live in here in America. Romans 13:13 says, walk honestly. I mean, truth.
Yeah.
Can you tell the truth? Are you honest when you speak? We have an election coming up in a year and a half, and on the left, on the right of the aisle, and I'm not taking any position here on this. I'm just saying, whether Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or whatever, an independent, a lot of promises are being made, but are those honest promises? Or are they empty? When Christ was talking with Pilate there before the crucifixion, Christ said, what is truth? I mean, can you believe somebody? I mean, when I tell you, I'm tight up here, this is the Word of God, I'm talking about the King James Bible. I believe everything in it is the Word of God 100%. I'm not like some preachers who say, this is the Word of God, but yet they don't believe in it. There's always only 80% correct. No, that's not being truthful, I don't think. That's not being honest. And you and I are to walk in honesty. In Micah 6:9, it says, walk humbly.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, I think that's really huge for we as Christians to ask God for a humble heart. Now, He may have to knock a few props out from underneath us. Sometimes we can be really high riding. I remember when Troy Smith was leading the Ohio State Buckeyes going into the national championship. I remember I was at the Victory Fitness Center and I was reading a paper, Columbus Dispatch, and they had all the major papers in America picking. No paper picked their opponent to win, Florida State. Nobody. They thought the Buckeyes were going to smash them. But we know what turned out. It just turned out the other way. And I felt so bad for weeks and months. All I'm saying is, sometimes we get humbled, don't we?
Yeah.
Sometimes we get brought down low. It's not a nice feeling. It's a whole lot better to have a humble, meek spirit about ourselves. And to be humble, and that word which is its cousin in meaning, meekness, says Moses was a meek man, but what a great leader he was. And I think if we'll learn to walk humbly and meek, and the Bible says, boast not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I woke up today, my air conditioning unit wasn't working. I looked, I went downstairs, the furnace was humming, I called the fella. Good Christian man who works in our furnace says, it sounds like the motor's out and I can't get there till tomorrow. I'm gonna sweat all day. I mean, sometimes a little humble pie goes a long way in our life, not boasting. Ephesians 5:15, it talks about walking circumspectly. We had a man in our church downtown Columbus who had an alcoholic problem, got saved, and slowly but surely he seemed to get victory over alcohol. And he was a roofer by trade, and after he got saved, he'd get up with his roofer buddies, and you got religion, they let him alone, and then slowly but surely they gave him a hard time, and they said, why don't you come to the bar, come to the bar? He says, no, I'm a Christian, but you know what, every day he drove past a bar, and saw all of his buddies pull in there, and then he went inside, and then he said, well, I'm just going to go inside with you guys, say, and have a Coke, and one thing led to another, and you know, he started drinking again. You know what probably he should have done, and it was a lesson for me. I mean, I've never been an alcoholic. I don't know the addiction depths that some people have. I think we need to be very careful about that. But you know what? Probably would have been a better thing if he'd have taken a different route home.
Yeah.
So he didn't drive by that every day. And I mean, whatever addiction, and some of us have a food addiction, don't drive past Golden Corral all the time, you know? give it a break. Walk circumspectly along those things or around those things that seem to drag us down. Psalms 26:11 says we need to walk in integrity. Well, I tell you, for years, preachers preach against TV. I did my fair share of it. I just did. And I have a TV. I'm watching my Buckeyes. I'm sorry if that's my sin. That's my sin, I'll deal with it. But because all the bad stuff that was on TV. And don't go to movies. Never, 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 never go to a movie. If you do, you're lost. You know, they really came down. And I did too. But you know what? On a cell phone, you can get anything you want.
Yeah.
And that's what's so dangerous for our young people. I don't have to go to the movie house to see a movie. I talk about all these things. I go right in the cell phone. And there's a lot of bad things. A lot of bad things people can see and watch on your cell phone. What are you getting at? I'm saying if we walk in integrity, We won't do those things. Amen. A friend of mine, Alan Jones, years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, he had a several-year program. He just taught on character and integrity, doing the right thing, having the character to say no to sin and yes to God. I think we have to get back there. Now, with cell phones, it's changed the whole landscape. I mean, because of what comes on that computer and that cell phone, are you walking in integrity? Our fourth point this morning, our adversary is walking too. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan's looking. I heard someone say something about this verse some time back. They did a study on lions and how they always look for the weak prey, the young prey that's in a flock or a herd in Africa or something like that. And they'll cut out the one that's way behind when it's running away. And you know what? I think Satan, walking about as a lion, looks for the weak Christian. The one who's maybe not in church this morning, but who stayed home. The one who's not in the Word, walking daily with Christ in the Word of God. I mean, it's so much easier for Satan as a roaring lion to devour them, to hurt and ruin their testimony, than it is for someone who sticks with the stuff on a regular daily basis. In 1 Samuel 8:3, the people of Israel came to Samuel and said, We want a king. Why do you want a king? Because your sons aren't walking in your ways. Well, it happens a lot. I'm glad I'm walking in the ways that Dad and Mom taught me. I'm a blessing to their testimony. And how much they know of how I'm walking today, I'm not quite sure. Hopefully they can see the progress I have made. But that, one reason I don't want to stop my walk is for my dad and mom's sake, who have moved on before me. And I want my kids to walk in my steps. I've been going through the Kings, 1st, 2nd Samuel, then the Kings. It's amazing how many, it says of the new king that was put in place, he walked in ways of their evil father. And how few walked in godly ways. And so I want to walk in the good ways that my dad and mom taught me. And I want my five children to walk in my ways. And now I want my 12 grandchildren. You know, my dad had daily devotions. And when he got home from work, we'd read the Bible. And we'd sing the B-I-B-L-E and hold it up when I was a kid. Well, I did that with my five kids. Now my sons, who are head of their own homes, they read the Bible and they sing B-I-B-L-E. And you know, that's walking in the steps, how it goes. And that's so important that we learn to do that. Jude 16 talks about they walked in their own lust. You know, we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and what else? The devil. Talked about the devil. Sometimes our own lust take over. Mm-hmm. It's so easy for that to happen. You see, when we get saved, we're still pulling around that ball and chain called the flesh. And until we get to heaven, that will not be completely eradicated in our life. That's why we need to be in the Scriptures so we have victory over the flesh. Paul said, I die daily. And my understanding of that, he's dying daily to the pulls of the flesh in his life. And we all have pulls in our flesh. And if you don't, I'd like to talk to you. Because I'm 63 years old, been preaching now for 40 years, Pastor. And the flesh still is strong and it pulls. That verse Paul said, die daily, still helps me. It's not I die yearly. I have to die every single day. Amen. To the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
For my fifth and final point, I'd like to look at the final time the word walk is used in the Bible. And you're in Peter, so you can just go back to Revelation, if you will, chapter 21. Verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And without reading any more, I like that some days I'm going to be walking in the light of Christ in heaven. Walking on streets of gold. And it's important that as we look at this last time, that is our final destination. That's why I hope you're not laying up treasures for yourselves on earth. Because you're not taking any of them with you. Okay? None of them. They're staying here, they're left behind to your kids, or maybe if we're raptured up, which I think we're going to be, preacher, in our lifetime, raptured up, it'll be left to the Antichrist and his crowd. Let them have it. I'm going to a better place. I have more beautiful blessings. Walking on streets of gold with my Savior in the light of Him for eternity.
Amen.
That's where I'll be. And that's where I'm walking to go someday. 1 John 1:7 says, walk in the light as He is in the light.
Yes.
Oh, wouldn't you be walking in the light today? And we'll get a head start in what's going to be walking in the light, in His light in heaven. And then in Psalms 23, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Mm-hmm. Death is a promotion for you and I.
Amen.
As born-again believers.
Amen.
Promoted to heaven, promoted to the presence of Christ. And I don't want to see, I don't want to die. I don't want to see my wife die. I don't want to see my kids die. I did have a grandson that passed away. I mentioned my brother, both my parents. But, you know, for my brother, that was tragic. He was so young, left behind two boys. But we all know where he went. But for Dad and Mom, it really was a celebration day. Both in their 80s, had lived their whole life for Christ, it seemed. What a great graduation day. No longer walking in His light here on earth, but now walking in His light in heaven. And that's where our eyes need to be fixed. We need to have our affection set on things above, on heavenly things. Because in Colossians, Paul said, what is our life? Our life is Christ. In this life, in our next life to come. How is your walk with the Lord today? First time, it was used in Genesis with Adam and Eve. If you can't walk with somebody, maybe it's because you're not agreed. We talked about walking in the old ways in Jeremiah. We talked about our adversary who's also walking and trailing us, looking for us to mess up that he might eat us up. And the final time it's used, of course, here is in the book of Revelation, walking in the light of Christ. It's been so good to be with you today. We're going to turn the invitation over to the pastor. Do you check out your daily walk with the Lord? How is it? Can it be improved? And if you're here without Christ, may today you be saved so you can start that blessed walk with the Lord.
Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm
Yeah.